Nonsense.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let me get one Diet Pepsi and put it right by the side before we start.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Are you ready? You're going to go live now. Oh, I didn't tell you. I got my monitor working.
Oh, good for you.
Bad. Yeah, the port was bad on there.
Oh, good for
you. I got it working. All right.
Good for you, my friend.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorda. And I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And where is he from?
From Boston.
And we've got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now, 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8, 8:30 tonight. And today, we're going to talk about marvelous Marvin Hagler. Of course, we lost a legend yesterday, and we'll have more about that later on in the show. Also, too, Tyson Fury has reportedly beefed. He's your boy. You're responsible for this guy. He's reportedly stopped training and started drinking. It's beautiful. What's better than that? Come on. What's better than that? He's a champ. He can do whatever he wants. Do whatever he wants. Does whatever he wants. You're responsible for him, nobody else. Yeah. You even called him? You even busted out a phone call to call him? No. You've just been trashing him behind his back.
No, never. That's my brother.
Is he? Well, you ain't taking care of your brother. You ain't taking care of him, son. He's over there getting wasted now. Go look at his Twitter. He's got a big bottle of whiskey right there. He's getting wasted now, son. You let it happen. This is on your watch.
I'm disappointed. I wonder if it's mind games, though. I really do.
I bet it's mind games like Andy Ruiz coming in late for that Anthony Joshua fight second time around. You mean like when he got on the scales and you thought it was a mind game when he had the sombrero on? He got stakes in his pocket, you know, and then, you know, he takes off his shirt at the fight, and clearly it's not mind games. It was just that, you know, he's overweight, you know what I'm saying?
He put on a lot of muscle for that fight. Maybe it was too much.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah, it looked like a lot of muscle. Do you see, by the way, do you see pictures of him now? He looks good.
I wonder if that's, well, it can't be Photoshopped because it's video. So yeah,
Photoshopped. Wow.
You Photoshopped video?
You shamed him, son.
You have like video editors?
Yeah. I just saw a video recently. You know who Michael Rapaport is?
Yeah.
One
like
guy. Him. He's got like a podcast. He's got a podcast or whatever. But he had a Trump. He had like it was a split screen of him and Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was going like back at him and stuff. And you know he's not talking to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But it looked legit. I mean, it really did. I was like, whoa.
They could
Photoshop it. I don't know how they do it.
They edit it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it looks legit.
That was a CGI Andrew Ruiz.
CGI. Wow. Just fat shamed. That's cold-blooded, man.
But you don't understand one thing about Andrew Ruiz. All that could be wiped away in less than a day if he goes to the buffet.
You know how they were talking about? Okay, so they were talking about how you do those before and after photos. You know how, like, they showed this one dude did it, and they start off, like, really ripped up and everything like that, and then, like, you know, he takes a picture of himself, and that's, like, the after photo. Right as soon as he takes the picture, he goes and, like, eats a bunch of stuff, puts his stomach out and everything, and they show, like, the before. That's how they do it, son.
You could do it.
That's how they do it.
I put on 10 pounds in one day before when I went to the Chinese buffet, 4 plates.
That MSG will kill you, man. That's the cold water.
A couple of Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup sundaes.
They got that at the Chinese buffet?
No, I went there afterwards because it's like right down the street. So this is what I used to do when I used to
You went to both places?
I'd start off at the buffet, then I'd work my way down to the friendlies and get that Reese's peanut butter cup sundae, the five scooper, the five scooper. And then maybe 2 or 3 hours later, I'd go to KFC, get a nice fucking like 8-piece, you know what I mean?
They still got friendlies up by you?
A lot of them closed.
Yeah, most of them
closed.
Closed.
Yeah, they went out. A lot of them went out of business.
Yeah, yeah, that's how most of them are up here. I don't think there is a Friendly's. I don't know.
I used to like them.
All right, let's get started here. DAZN, Juan Francisco Estrada versus Roman Chocolatito Gonzalez for Estrada's WBC title and Gonzalez's WBA title. Juan Francisco Estrada beats Chocolatito by the scores of 115-113, 117-111. You got that twice, and then 115-113 for Chocolatito, split decision. I had the fight scored 116-112 for Chocolatito, man. I thought that Chocolatito was very effective. He had really effective aggression. He looked to be the stronger fighter. I thought he stunned Estrada quite a few times in that fight. I really did. There was quite a few times they got in a firefight, and he got hit, and he just stopped. That being said, I mean, hey, look, man, I mean, it was a good fight. Estrada had his moments, too, where he seemed to control the fight with his distance, his boxing. When he could stop Chocolatito from coming forward, those were his best moments. But to me, overall, Chocolatito, with his pace, with his aggression, kind of controlled this fight. Estrada's corner told him in the 10th that he needed a knockout to win. It was around the 10th, anyway, that he needed a knockout to win, which, I don't know, man. It didn't seem like really sound advice to me, but whatever. And after the fight, he didn't seem all that anxious to want to fight Chocolatito next. Estrada stated that Sorung Vasai would be next. Incidentally, Carlos Sucre scored the fight 117-111 for Estrada. He's been suspended by the WBA. Sucre awarded the last 5 rounds and then 6 of the last 7 to Estrada, and he gave Estrada the first 3 rounds. How you do that, man, I have no idea, man. The WBA said they temporarily suspended Carlos Sucre while the officials committee evaluates his performance, which means he'll probably be back next weekend with a championship fight because the WBA sucks. So I tell you what, man, a lot of people saw this fight a lot of different ways. I know Chacal, who's been on a tear lately picking upsets, he had Chocolatito, and he picked Chocolatito to win. He had him win at 116-112. I had him at 116-112. A lot of people 115-113 both ways. How did you see the fight playing out, man?
Well, first of all, Chacal was getting cocky there for a while, and what did I tell you? Nothing lasts forever.
I'll tell you
that.
What, man. I'll be honest. I thought he should have won this fight, man. I thought he should have won.
Disagree. I disagree. but here's the thing. Listen. This fight could have gone either way, in my opinion. I picked Estrada to win, but full disclosure, anyone that has Gonzalez winning this fight, I have no problem with you. And I'm going to admit something to you, that I scored 6 of the last 7 rounds for Estrada as well, but I didn't give him the 12th, which was unfathomable to give him the 12th. I thought, Gonzalez clearly won the 12th. And I think Gonzalez did buzz Estrada in the 12th, but for the most part, I thought both guys landed good shots. But with the exception of a few occasions, I don't think anyone was really hurt badly or buzzed or staggered or buckled in this fight. I think what I saw happen in this fight was, I think Estrada was trying to play the counterpunch role and walk Gonzalez into shots. The thing about Gonzalez was he was more sharper than usual. He was really shortening up the shots. I know Sergio Moraes said, he's not pulling back.
I can't deal with that DAZN crew. I cannot deal with that DAZN crew.
I'm going to get into that DAZN crew in a couple minutes, and I'm glad you just mentioned that because I have a lot to say. But the way the way Sergio Mora articulates things, it's just so stupid. And him being a former fighter, him saying, he's not pulling back on his shots, that is such a bad way to describe it, because what you're supposed to say is he's not telegraphing his shots. He's shortening up his shots. He's not loading up. And normally he would kind of sit down and really try to throw heavy shots. But what Gonzalez did this time, and I haven't seen him do I see him do it sometimes, but not as consistently as he did it against Estrada. A lot of times when he gets in that pocket, he likes to sit down and start really ripping and digging and, you know, loading shots and loading up on shots. He was just shortening up the shots and just, you know, not really torquing the shots, not really loading up, okay? Not telegraphing at all, okay? He was just throwing – he was just looking to make contact. And if you notice – his output was a lot more than it normally is because he was just trying to throw shots to make contact instead of trying to make every shot be a home run punch. So I think that threw Estrada off a little bit, okay? And even with that being said, I still think Estrada was landing some good counter shots. I just think this fight was very even. But what I did see in the second half of the fight was I saw Gonzalez start to slow down a little bit because Estrada was whipping that left hook to the body, and I don't think he was getting credit for it by the commentators and by a lot of people watching the fight. You got to score those punches. And that's when I thought that Gonzalez was still throwing, but if you notice, that's when he was starting to get backed up. He wasn't coming forward as much. And the one thing I do notice about The one thing I do notice about Gonzalez is he looked good, but he still doesn't look strong at this weight. He was still being pushed back in the second half of this fight. When Estrada decided he was going to start coming forward, he was able to push Gonzalez back. And when a fight is even like that, and both guys are throwing and both guys are getting nears, I tend to go with the guy who's pushing the other guy back because that's, in my opinion, ring generalship a little bit. That's when the ring generalship comes in because both guys are throwing, both guys are exchanging, but one guy's getting pushed back by the other guy's punches and exchanges, and the other guy is kind of controlling and pushing that guy back. So he's basically controlling where that guy is being positioned in the ring. He's pushing him back. He's putting him in where he wants to in that ring by pushing him back. Okay? When Estrada was kind of sliding back, you could see he was kind of sliding, stepping off, and trying to land counter shots. But Gonzalez wasn't trying to land counter shots. He was just being pushed back, and he was trying to fight Estrada off him. So I thought the fight was close. I thought both guys held their own. Both guys threw really fluid, short combinations, right? And they were just throwing. They weren't looking to be picture perfect with everything. And usually when you throw like that, something happens because you throw enough punches, something's going to get through. And if you're throwing the punches right and you're not really loading up and trying to hit home runs with every punch you throw, then you're able to throw a lot of punches without getting tired, which both men were able to do. And obviously both men are supremely conditioned. So the thing about this is it depended on what you liked here. You could have flipped the coin on a lot of these rounds. Like the 10th and 11th round, I thought could have gone either way. They're close. The second round could have gone either way. I could pick to like at least four rounds in this fight that were swing rounds.
It was a close fight. I mean, rounds, that's why you have everything all over the place, man. It was close.
But the one thing that did it for me was Estrada's body work that I thought was going unnoticed. That's one. And in the second half of the fight, both guys were kind of on even terms, but that's when Estrada started pushing the smaller Gonzalez back. And that's why I could see, as good as Chocolatito did, he did a lot better than I expected him to, because I thought Chocolatito was going to get stopped in this fight.
Yeah.
And he did 10 times better than what I thought he was going to do. But just because he did better than what I thought he was going to do, I'm not going to give him extra credit for that, which I think a lot of people did, in my opinion. And the reason why I say that, people, how do you know that people did that? Well, because you ask people who thought Gonzalez won, where's your scorecard? They didn't really score the fight. They just looked at the fight like, wow, Gonzalez is holding his own in there. So you know what? He's doing better than what I thought. I'm going to give him more credit than I'm going to give the other guy because the other guy was favored, and you can't do that. You can't. Again, I'm 51 years old, right? You're an older guy, and I'm not trying to you know, say that we're smarter or better than anyone. But when you get older, you learn how to take emotion out of situations in life, especially when I'm scoring fights. That's why even when I'm gambling fights, it's hard to not get emotionally involved when you're gambling on a fight.
That's why when I
gamble on fights, I don't bet a lot. I bet very small money, so I don't get upset. So that's the thing. So that was a difference for me. Now, Gonzalez did 10 times better than what I thought he did. If he won the fight on the cards, you would have no argument for me. Anyone who thought Gonzalez won this fight, would have no argument with me. But let's not make a big deal out of the 117-111 scorecard, because that – so what if it was 115 and 113? Then Estrada still would have won a split decision. Am I justifying the 117-111? No. Should that judge ever score a fight again? No. Should that judge be suspended? Yeah, probably so. But don't let that, once again, take away from the fight. And because you see that one scorecard, automatically you say that the fight was controversial. Oh, that the fight was a robbery because you're mad about that card. You're reading too much into it. It was a great fight. It was probably arguably the best fight of the year, or at least one of the best fights of the year. It's going to be in the top three or four best fights of the year, in my opinion. Right?
It was very good.
So why let that scorecard overshadow it? And just because, you know, you guys picked, a lot of people still picked Gonzalez to win this fight, just because you picked a guy to win, don't try to justify him winning the fight and calling it a robbery just because you picked him to win, or just because you bet on the fight or whatever. Take emotion out of it and be objective. An objective person is going to look at this fight, say this fight could have gone either way. It was a 115 to 113 fight, or a 114 to 114 fight. If you want to go 116 to 112, because there's four swing rounds, and maybe you throw another swing round the other guy's way, Gonzalez's way, fine. It's not impossible to have a 116 to 112. 117 to 111 is pushing it, okay? It's pushing it.
That's really pushing it. Especially he gave Estrada the first three rounds. I thought Estrada clearly took the first round, then I had Chocolatito getting two and three. Then he gave him six of the last seven, five straight rounds. The last five rounds he gave him, six of the last seven rounds he gave him. You know, I think, and the reason, you know, think about this, okay? The scorecards were that close, 115, 113, flop both ways. And then you got this one, 117, 111. It was a great fight. But, yeah, that does take away a little bit from this fight because you have this.
But it shouldn't, though.
Do we have a winner? Do we have a solid winner? I don't know. Half of the people said yes. Half of the people say no. You know, and will we get a third fight? That I don't know either, because he didn't seem all that interested. He didn't seem all that interested in fighting him again. I'll tell you.
Gonzalez was leaning towards retirement.
Yeah. So, and he did not seem, like I said, Estrada did not seem that, you know,
well,
he didn't
Estrada,
seem
Estrada kept saying
too
that
excited,
he deserves
that's for sure.
No, he kept saying he deserves a third fight, but he was also saying that they're probably going to enforce my mandatory, so I have no choice. I can't fight him if they don't let me. Next.
Yeah.
But he would definitely fight him after that. But let's talk about these DAZN guys, because I'm watching this fight, and then the rounds were close, and then I'm hearing Chris Mannix and Sergio Mora, oh, that was a great round for Chocolatito. Oh, that was a Chocolatito. Great round. You know, and it's like in a close round, when someone's watching a fight, a lot of these fans are very impressionable. Automatically, they're going to say, Chocolatito must have won that round because all the announcers are saying he won that round.
He said it, so he must be true.
Yeah. So after every round, they were, oh, Chocolatito, what a great round. Oh, great work from Chocolatito. Great. Like, it was an even round, guys. Could have gone either. Like, the rounds were so close, you can't just. And then, like, Chocolatito did land some good right hands. But then, when he landed right hand, oh, what a right hand. Like, okay, the right hand landed. It was clean. But it wasn't like Estrada's head was snapping back.
Right.
He wasn't buckled. He wasn't staggered. The way this is the problem with a lot of these announcers, with the media, with the networks, with these platforms that broadcast fights. This is the problem. They got to stop being PR people and be analysts, commentators, media members, and writers. Stop caping for the guy you like. stop caping for the house fighter. Stop trying to go with a guy who you perceive to be, a legendary guy or the A-side or whatever. Don't be a promoter or a PR person. Be a commentator. These guys are too emotionally invested in the fight as well. They're not being objective. That commentary last night was so biased towards Chuck Liddell, it was ridiculous. And I know we're going to talk about it later, but it was ridiculously biased towards Brakus too, because I know we're going to talk about that fight later. And I'm gonna unload on Chris Mannix because I don't know what the hell he was watching.
Where in the world they picked this guy up from? I don't know.
That fight was not even remotely close.
It wasn't even remotely close.
If you gave Brakus more than two rounds, then you were trying to give him more than two rounds.
Right. That's 100%.
Three top. How could you score that fight 96-94 after taking a point away from Brakus? It was ridiculous.
Jeez. I mean, come on, man. And JC says, JC hit it on the head. They kept saying first ballot Hall of Famer. Everything they said, it was first ballot Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer.
Enough with the PR. Stop being a PR person.
Yeah, Amilcar says, let's see here, where's that? Commentary was so bad, they even mentioned Chuck Liddell's pay multiple times. Clearly the house fighter. 100%. And now we both picked Estrada to win this fight.
Yes.
But that shows you, like I said, I mean, again, I picked him to win the fight. You picked him to win the fight. You scored at 115 for Estrada. I scored at 116 for Chuck Liddell. And it's just one of those things, man. It was one of those fights that you're like, you know, it's just what you like. I understand, I don't condone the argument that it was a robbery because I don't believe it was a robbery. I think that it was too close to be a robbery. I get that. But I also get where they go with the third judge. The 117-111. I also get how that comes into play. But, honestly, doesn't matter because it wasn't a robbery. Whether the right guy won or not, it doesn't matter because the fight was that close. If you wanted a definitive – if either fighter wanted a definitive winner, they should have knocked the other guy out. That's the way
it
is.
I'm not going to let the scorecard overshadow the performance.
Great fight.
I'm not going to punish the fight. I'm not going to punish either fighter for that 117-111 scorecard.
Yeah, it was a great fight, though.
But that doesn't mean that Estrada could not have gotten the nod in that fight because of that.
No, of course not.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Let's see here. I wonder, just backtracking on this for a second before we go to our next fight here. If Chuck Liddell, like, you kind of, I was watching this fight, because we all counted Chuck Liddell out. Notorious VC in the chat said we thought he was finished when he got lost to Rungvisai. I absolutely did. I picked Yafai to beat him and everything like that, and we picked Estrada to beat him. The thing is, like, you wonder, like, does he just have his number? You know, some guys just got your number, and some guys...
It's like Marquez Pacquiao.
Some guys just got your number. And I wonder if that's the foil for his, his strategy or whatever. I think Chuck Liddell might just have your number, man. That's because I was thinking this as I'm watching this play out. I'm thinking to myself, right around the 10th, 11th round, I'm like, man, we're gonna see Chuck Liddell and Sor Rungvisai again. I said, we're going to see that fight again. And that did not go well for Chuck Liddell in those first two fights. I said, we're going to see this again. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be crazy to see if he can actually,
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. And you tell me if I'm wrong here. I told Chacal, I don't think Chuck Liddell is going to be a champion ever again in this if he stays in this division, because I don't think he can beat any of the other champions, in my opinion.
Well, I thought he beat one last night. I thought he beat Estrada.
Yeah.
I thought he beat Estrada. I mean, I thought he beat him. But I'll tell you what.
Would you pick him against anyone else? Would you pick him in a third fight?
The way he fought, yeah, probably.
I still wouldn't pick him in a third fight because, in my opinion, I think his power is diminished at this weight, and I think that he's not physically strong. I still thought that he was being manhandled a little bit in the second half of the fight, even though he was still putting together some good combinations.
You know, and the other argument to that is he threw more punches, landed more punches, and landed at a higher percentage. And I know we don't count punch stat and everything like that. I mean, we know, you know how we feel about punch stat. But, I mean, it's got to say something. You know, he was definitely the busier fighter. I thought he was more, you know.
But when I was watching that fight, it looked like both guys were just as busy as the other. Like, I couldn't see,
well,
to me.
What are they, both fly, super flyweights, man. So they're going to be busy, man. That's for sure.
Because the punch, even the punch stats were still close and comparable. They weren't like one, you know what I mean? It wasn't like one guy landed way more, one guy threw way more. And when watching that fight, it kind of looked like both guys were throwing about the same. Because I'm not sitting there counting them. So.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like we're not sitting there counting them. Just like, you know, when they say, oh, such and such won. Okay, well, how did you score it? Well, I didn't score it. Okay, well, then I can't. And we can't talk anymore about it.
You can't. You know, shout out to Chakal. Chakal did score it.
Yeah, he scored it the same as me. He scored
it the same as me.
Yeah.
I had no problem with Chakal's scorecard. I had no problem with Chakal thinking that Gonzalez won.
No. Uh-huh.
What I did have a problem with was the first thing that came out of his mouth was, what a robbery.
He was on a tear too, man. I tell you what, he was on a tear the last few fights, man. He had him like.
Now, I don't usually kick people when they're down, but he was getting a little cocky.
Oh,
he had to get his comeuppance.
You know what was nuts? And I'm thinking about this. It was like later on in the fight. I'm watching Chocolatito and just run this fight, right? And I'm thinking of what Chakal said to me. Chakal was like, Chocolatito's going to win. He's like, I'm telling you. I don't know what inside mafia connections he's got to these fighters,
listen,
man, but he knows something.
Listen, he was bragging so much. This is the hater in me coming up. He was bragging so much to me all week about how he was like friggin' this tout that knew that was like fucking, he had the friggin' crystal ball in his hand, like in the Lord of the Rings. What was that little ball they had, the Pelletier, whatever the thing was, they could see in the future.
I don't know.
So he was getting so cocky. You know what I said to myself at the end of that fight before the decision was announced? I thought Estrada was going to get the decision. I really did. I did.
Funny, because Estrada didn't think he was going to get the decision. You could tell by his face.
So I said to myself, I hope fucking Gonzalez doesn't get this decision. I don't want to listen to this fucking kid again. Babe, I told you. I don't want to fucking listen to this kid. I'm sorry.
I love him.
I love him to death, but he's a cocky bastard when he wins.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you.
And then when you lose, oh, I told you. After you bet on a fight and you lose, right? The last thing you want to hear is, oh, I told you, Pete.
I know. The last thing you want to do is after you lose, yeah.
Did I say that to him yesterday? I was tempted to, but I didn't, because I follow gambling etiquette. You don't say that to somebody after they lose a bet. You just don't.
I tell you what, whenever he always texts us stuff about Canelo or any of the Mexican fighters, it's always spot on. He knows somebody inside, man. He knows somebody.
Oh, yeah.
He's working with El Chapo or somebody. I don't know.
Well, he knows people. There's no question about that.
Yeah. He's in there, man. All right, let's talk about the co-main event here, man, and I'm glad to see it was a co-main event. Jessica McCaskill versus Cecilia Brakhus, 10 rounds for the undisputed welterweight championship. McCaskill dominated Brakhus in the rematch by unanimous decision by the scores of 189, 99 to 90, 98, 91. I had the fight 98, 91 for McCaskill.
What I had.
You know, she was just aggressive. I thought it was a pretty good fight. In fact, I had the Showtime fights on. I was watching this on my laptop. And I had the Showtime fights on the TV at the same time I'm watching it. I just tuned out of Showtime, man. I just hit Showtime on mute and then just started watching this fight, man, because it was really good. It was really good. It's about time they did the right thing, put this type of fight on as a co-main event. It was
Remember I said that? You want these girls to get some shine? Put them on the undercard of some of the bigger fights.
Yeah. We've been saying it for months, you know. I said, you know, this probably sets up the Katie Taylor McCaskill fight now. It's a co-main. And now, you know what? Now we know who McCaskill is. And now, you know what? I want to go watch her again because she was on there.
Wasn't that the best thing that trainer said? Goes, you got $1 million. You got $1 million over there. That pumped me up, man. I almost went on the treadmill after hearing that.
That was good, wasn't it? That was good.
That was awesome.
Yeah, the best was the DAZN announcers didn't know what round it was through about half of the fight.
Idiots.
Just complete morons. Just complete
worst.
Morons.
They are the worst.
They suck.
They are right? So bad, those guys.
And true to form here, Clarissa Shields manager and promoters Mark Taffin and Dimitri Salida were saying on social media it was a great fight, but Shields beats both in the same night. You know, yeah. Well, Shields is 20 pounds heavier than either one of these girls.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a Shields fight like that? Like,
never.
That fight, that was an action-packed, enjoyable fight. Have you ever seen a fight from Shields as entertaining as that fight from McCaskill last night?
Nope.
No.
I'd rather watch Shields watch them fight.
Katie Taylor, I've never seen a dull Katie Taylor fight either that I didn't like. So, I'm going to, once again, Beeb's going to be the resident hater. Clarissa Shields is just jealous of these girls because people enjoy watching them fight more than they enjoy watching her fight because they have more entertaining styles than she does, you know?
You know, I wonder, you know what, I'll be honest, man. I wonder if she, like her ego or whatever, will not let her, like she wants to be the main event. You know what I'm saying? Like, she doesn't want to co-main, right? She's too big to co-main now.
Yeah.
Son, you should be co-maining until you can main.
Teofimo Lopez isn't against being on the undercard of one of those celebrity fights.
Of a celebrity fight, son.
He doesn't care because he's getting the money.
Getting paid.
Getting the money. So, who cares?
Nobody cares, man. Instead of dumping on him, he's got this manager and promoter dumping on him. Listen, they do a lousy job promoting this girl anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they really do. They do a lousy job of promoting her.
She's the most decorated women's boxer in the sport right now, and nobody cares.
You want to promote her, man, get her a personality transplant because it just doesn't fly.
And listening to McCaskill after that fight, I think Chris Mendes goes, Todd Grisham, I'm sorry. So I guess she goes like this to her. Oh, so you're going to be heading back to work on Monday. She's an investment banker. She's going back into work and clocking in tomorrow morning.
She's an investment banker?
She's an investment banker.
You know she gets paid more at her job than she does boxing.
Exactly. So that's why you got to respect this girl. She don't have to box. She does it because she loves to.
Yeah.
You know, and then her trainer just quit his job and said, I'm going to focus all my time into her. That's a story. That's
what's he
going to
do while she's at work?
He's probably going to do other training.
What's he going to do while she's at work?
I'm just saying
he's going to quit. She hasn't quit her job, his job to focus on her. But she's at work 8 hours a day.
You don't know what the guy's doing. He could have a YouTube channel. He could get super chats. You don't know.
He's getting a bunch of super chats.
You don't know what the guy's doing in his spare time. Well, don't speculate. Don't speculate. Don't be negative.
I'm just saying. That's a legitimate question.
What if he's day trading? You don't know what
he's not
day trading.
Day trading,
you don't know what he's doing. You don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he knows what he's doing. All right, if he went and quit his job.
Don't be a hater. Come on.
I'm just saying, man.
You're ruining a great story right now. I'm trying
But you've got to get all sides of the story. You know what I mean?
I'm giving a really heartfelt, good story here. What do you do? You're taking a dump all over it. You're being a negative Nelly here.
That never crossed your mind.
I'm not going to bring it up in the middle of the story because I'm going to focus on the positive, not the negative.
Positive. Come on, man. I'm quitting my job to focus on her career. She ever quitting her job.
That is a pretty good point.
Right? What's he doing now? He's going to go collect unemployment. Why they got it at $600 or whatever? You know, people on unemployment getting $600 a week or whatever. I don't know.
McCaskill's the investment banker, Tony Ayo. That's in the chat.
McCaskill's the banker.
So you got to give a person credit like that. There was a guy from Brockton. His name was, I don't know if anyone remembers this guy, Drake Thazi. He was a light heavyweight. He fought James Toney.
Yeah.
You know what he used to do for work? He was a grave digger. He used to dig graves and he used to box.
Awesome is that?
And then you got guys like Joe Smith Jr., who's like a union laborer, and he's boxing. He boxes too. He's on television. Like, So, then, you know, you guys want to talk about, oh, well, this guy's getting overpaid, that guy's getting overpaid. What about all these other fighters that have to work full-time jobs while they're fighting, even when they're on being, you know, they're on televised events in co-main events and in main events, and they still work in full-time jobs because you want to say that. You, and then when you look at a boxer, you know, you say, oh, the guy's getting $1 million. How much of that $1 million does he actually keep? How much does he have to pay for taxes and fees to promoters and trainers and cut men and all that? All this BS. So there's no such thing as a fighter getting overpaid, in my opinion.
It is. It is. All right. I guess the one the other fight on there was Hiroto Kayaguchi versus Axel Aragon Vega, 12 rounds for Kayaguchi's WBA flyweight title. Kayaguchi retains the title with a fifth-round stoppage of Axel Aragon. Anything about this one? Who cares?
Yeah.
You'll never hear from either one of them again. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Wasn't the focal point of the card.
No. Ooh, you can say that again. But I thought they were going to put that on as a co-main. I really did, because that's how it listed in the thing. I'm so glad they put this chick fight on as a second as a co-main.
I'm so happy for McCaskill, though. I really am. You know, I think that she put on a great show. She had a great performance. This was a life-changing fight for her. And she's going to – this was a girl – I forgot to tell you this. She was actually homeless before, too. She was homeless for a little while, too. So this is a great story right here. It's not – this is
when
someone
was she
like –
homeless? How's she an investment banker and get homeless?
Listen, she was homeless.
There's a lot of holes in these stories that you're bringing up. I'm just saying. You know,
exactly.
The guy gets a job, he ain't got a – she's
Eric,
an investment banker and now she's homeless?
Just because right after the fight you're going in there grabbing sandwiches and beers and you don't want to listen to the post-fight interview.
I want to listen to it for.
Don't blame me. Don't blame me.
I'm not hearing the zone announcer.
This is,
you know
this is
mean?
A girl that was homeless. You don't want to listen to the story, man. You want to just look at these people like pieces of meat. They got lives too, Eric. They're human beings too.
The thumbs up or the thumbs down.
They feel too, Eric. They bleed. They're not made of metal. They're not robots or cyborgs. They're human beings,
you know,
with feelings, with lives.
Hey, look, I'm just saying, man. It sounds a little Mark Kriegel-esque, you know? I don't know. Sounds a little embellishing. You know, I was homeless before I moved here. I mean, because I was in between houses.
Eric, do not make light of that, please.
I'm just saying.
Please.
Messed up, man.
Well,
all right.
From nothing. Now she's a something. Give her credit, goddammit.
I did. I did a good job. I scored the fight for her. I mean, it was impossible not to score the fight for her. But
the worst judge in the world would have scored the fight for her.
I don't even, like, Sucre, who got suspended, scored the fight for her. So, you know. All right. On Showtime, David Benavidez versus Ronald Ellis, 12-round super middleweight. David Benavidez wins by 11th round TK over Ronald Ellis. The fight went exactly how you thought it was going to go. Benavidez was winning the fight, but, you know, I don't know. He wasn't really doing anything spectacular. I'll tell you what, if that Benavidez shows up to fight Canelo, he's going to get washed.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that Benavidez fight we saw last night.
Listen, Ronald Ellis is a guy that's never been stopped before. He's been in there with tough guys, and he usually goes the distance with everybody. Benavidez looked sharp last night, like putting it, the way he put his punches together, how fluid his combinations were. Benavidez is a tall, long guy, and he's dangerous.
Really expected that though against a guy like Ellis.
I just like that David Benavidez's style. I like the way he fights. I love how picture perfect he is with the accuracy with his punches. I love how he goes to the body. He goes up and down, down and up. I love his punch variation. I love the fluidity of his combination punching. I like his head movement. I just think he's for a tall, long guy like that, to be able to fight on the outside or the inside, counter punch backing up, I just think he's got a lot of tools.
Yeah.
And to me, he's the only guy that I think could beat Canelo at 168, in my opinion.
Well, he wants to fight, he either wants to fight Plant or Charlo next. I like either one of those fights.
I have no problem with either one of them.
I like either one of those fights. That's who I want to see. I don't want to see another Ronald Ellis in there. I want to see him fight one of the big guys because he was going to dominate Ronald Ellis.
I'm sure you don't want to see Caleb Plant fight another Caleb Turax either, right?
No, I'd love to see that again. I think that's where it's at. I really do. I think that,
at least Benavidez is the one guy over at PBC that actually wants to fight big fights, tough fights.
Right, exactly.
I'm not gonna throw shade at David Benavidez at all, because at least he wants to fight the big fights.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, like I said, I mean, we knew it's good that he wants to fight, like I said, a Charlo, Plant, and he's calling those guys out. Those guys are in his lane. He should absolutely have no problems making those fights. None.
No.
You know. So, absolutely. It was funny. Now, you talk about stories in the pre-fight or whatever. They had asked him if he had a discipline problem. And he was like, I've never had a discipline problem in my career. Son, you lost your title on the scale. You got busted for cocaine. I would say both of those are discipline problems.
So now you want to go back to the stories after you were criticizing me for saying the stories. Now you want to use the stories.
Well, my stories are good. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you there. Yeah. Good job.
All right. On the zone, Srisaket Sorwungvisai versus Kwantai Sitamorsang. Sorwungvisai wins via TK, easy for me to say. Sorwungvisai wins via TKO in 3 rounds over Sitamorsang. Sitamorsang was 38 years old. All right. So I'm just saying, you know, this is definitely a tune-up fight. And that makes him a mandatory for Juan Francisco Estrada. You think he beats Francisco Estrada? How do you think that fight goes?
Estrada already beat him before, but
yeah,
but he beat Estrada once too.
It's a good fight. It's a good fight. I mean,
you know what? That's a coin flip. If you put a gun to my head, you know what I'm going to tell you? I think Rungvisai would beat him.
As long as he doesn't have girl problems. That shut him down last time. Remember that?
He shuts right down.
Completely down, son.
If he's going through a breakup, forget about it.
He shuts completely down.
Well, you can fix that. You can go to therapy or something. Therapy works.
Yeah. You seen him, man. He was done. After that. His lady left him.
He didn't want to fight for like 8 months.
Fight me more. Didn't want to do nothing, man.
But I think Rungvisai is still looking He looks like he's getting sharper. Estrada looks good too at this weight, but I think Rungvisai looks a little bit more physically imposing and dangerous at this weight. I think his punching power is fight changing more. I know Estrada can crack a little bit too, but I think Rungvisai. I think he's a harder puncher. I think his power and he's bigger than Estrada. He's got some good physical strength in there as well. The way he could push guys back also.
He's a big guy.
He's really big for this weight, so that's why I like Rungvisai. I like Rungvisai here.
Yeah. As long as he didn't get his heart broken or anything like that. Yeah,
size, strength, and punching power. But again, his defense isn't the greatest. So that's where, you know, Estrada has openings there because Rungvisai is not afraid to take one to give two, or take two to give one, I should say.
Yep. He's got 99 problems, Beeb.
Again, you're focusing on the negative. Every situation
I'm just saying. That's like his kryptonite. Them chicks is like his kryptonite, boy.
This guy is a world champion two times over. And you're worried about the girl problems, kid.
Well, you got to worry about the girl problems with him. Clearly stripped down with his girl problems.
But he's getting older, and he's going to learn how to deal with these heartbreaks through experience.
How old is he? What is he, like 32 or something like that?
I'm living proof of that. Once I started getting older, I didn't care about the honey dips as much as I did when I was younger.
You know what's funny is after that whole thing, he's probably a big-time player now. You know what I'm saying?
That was kind of crazy, though. Like he did put his career on hold because he was going through. But wasn't he, like, engaged? But he was engaged to that girl, too, though, I thought.
I heard a lot of people were engaged to that girl. Oh, that's messed up.
Why would you even go there, son?
That's messed up. She's got a family, man. That's messed up.
Will you stop?
That's messed up. You need to apologize to her for that, man. That's messed up. That's jacked. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God!
I gotta I gotta switch topics.
You are cold. You are cold as ice. You're like that guy from Mortal Kombat. You're Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero.
That's your new name, Sub-Zero.
Isn't that the one where he like freezes a dude and then just like punches him and he just shatters
freezes
or something like that?
Freezes a dude and then shoots that freaking spike in his chest.
Unreal. Unreal. All right, Robbie's on the line. Robert, we're going to come to you here in a minute here. Before we go to Robert, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Let's see. Let's bring him up here. All right, upcoming fight schedule here. All right, March 18th, Puerto Rico on the NBC Sports Network, Alberto Machado versus Hector Tanajara, 10 rounds lightweights. That's the main event there. March 19th, I believe, what is this? It's a Thursday and then Friday, March 19th from Bolton, England on ESPN+. Kareem Guifari versus Lee McGregor for Guifari's, I guess, European bantamweight title. It's at 2 o'clock Eastern on ESPN+, if you're interested. I'm not interested. March 20th, I guess Saturday, on ESPN from Moscow, Russia. And you'll be able to watch this on ESPN at 3 o'clock. Arthur Beterbiev versus Adam Daines, 12 rounds for Beterbiev's WBC and IBF titles. That's going to be interesting, man. I'm real interested to see that fight. Al Beterbiev is coming back here as far as, you know, we haven't seen him in a bit because of the pandemic and all that other stuff, so I'll be interested to see how it goes. He should knock him out fairly easily in Russia and against a guy that nobody's ever heard of. So everybody on the undercard, I haven't heard of any of them, so I don't know who they are. My guess is that a lot of people don't know who they are. March 20th, Saturday. From Fort Worth, Texas, on DAZN, Virgil Ortiz Jr. versus Maurice Hooker, 12 rounds, welterweights. That's a good fight, babe.
That's a great fight.
It's a good fight, right?
Very good fight. That's a great test for him. Maurice Hooker is a good fighter, man.
Yeah, he really is. He's a really good boxer.
He's a very good fighter.
That's going to be good, man. On the undercard, Pablo Cesar Cano versus Jonathan Navarro, 12 rounds, junior welterweights. That's not a bad fight.
It's a decent fight, too, yeah.
Annabelle Ortiz versus Cienta Estrada, 10 rounds for Ortiz's WBA strawweight title. And then I don't recognize the other ones. March 20th, from the United Kingdom on DAZN, Lawrence Okolie versus Christoph Glowacki, 12 rounds for the vacant WBO cruiserweight title. That's a good fight. That's a good fight, guys. Anthony Fowler on the undercard versus Jorge Fortea, 12 rounds, junior middleweights. There you go. And that is it. Let's see here. Yeah, that is it. Your boy on the 27th, Steve. The 27th on DAZN. Your boy Ted Cheeseman making his return, baby. That's your man.
My man right there, baby.
That's your man, son. That's your man, son. Saw some decent fights. I like the Hooker fight, and I like the Beterbiev fight.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
DAZN is really outperforming ESPN Plus with their fight schedule. Would you agree? I'm not happy with ESPN Plus. Like, when was the last time ESPN Plus put a good card on? You know, if the rumors are true and ESPN Plus or ESPN doesn't show boxing anymore, I'm canceling my ESPN Plus subscription. Would you keep your subscription of ESPN Plus? Do you watch other sports? Do you watch the soccer on there? Do you watch other stuff?
Sometimes we do, yeah. Sometimes we do. We would probably keep it because we got it bundled. You know, like we got the bundle. Plus the UFC is on there.
Do you have the Disney Channel?
It's like the Disney Channel.
And Hulu? You have Hulu too?
Yeah, that Hulu sucks. You have to pay, like, if you bundle those three together, like Hulu, Disney Channel, and then ESPN, all right?
Like, what's it, like $12?
Like $12 or something like that, which is good.
Do you even use the Hulu?
Hulu sucks, man.
It's one thing on Hulu that I wanted to watch this weekend, and I used to have Hulu, but I don't have it anymore, and that was the Tekashi 6ix9ine documentary. It's actually on Hulu. It's exclusive to Hulu. I wanted to watch that. But other than that, there's nothing on Hulu I really wanted to watch.
What's the matter with you, son?
I like Tekashi
6ix9ine. Just stop.
Come on.
But Hulu, like, you have to pay, like, if you want to watch, like, movies on Hulu, which Hulu has some movies on there, right? If you want to watch those, you got to, like, pay, like, $12 a month for Hulu. I'm not paying $12 a month for that.
Who's going to buy Hulu when they can get Netflix mostly, like Netflix is in my Xfinity Comcast package.
That's pretty cool.
And Netflix is bundled with everything, like Verizon, AT&T, you can get Netflix with their phone plans and stuff. And Netflix is like $10, and there's no commercials on Netflix. I just watched Training Day this morning on Netflix.
Wasn't that great? I love that movie.
I watch that movie all the time.
It was so good.
All the time I watch. I love Denzel Washington is like my favorite actor. I love Denzel Washington. He's awesome.
Didn't know you like to get wet, though.
PCP. Sure.
Angel dust.
Dust.
He had that mistress. He had a mistress in the projects.
Yeah, I love that. He had the best life, that guy. That guy was the shit, man. Like, he just stopped in the middle of the street. He didn't give a fuck.
He didn't care less, son. Yeah, he
that guy's like, he just didn't give a fuck about nothing, man.
No, he really didn't. He was awesome. All right. Let's go to our news and rumors here, man. Some sad news in the world of boxing. Marvelous Marvin Hagler passed away unexpectedly on Saturday. He was 66 years old. The cause of death is not known at this time. This was tough, man. This was a tough one. You know, we lost Ali, you knew he was getting up there and everything like that. It was still not good, obviously. But this one was tough because we kind of grew up with this guy. We grew up watching him, seen all his fights. Remember watching him beat Alan Minter. I mean, this one was a tough one, man. This was this was a hard one, man. The cause of death is not known at this time, but TMZ is reporting that he was having issues breathing and chest pains. He was taken to the hospital and passed away about 4 hours later. Hagler, you know, honestly was one of the best middleweights of all time. He was undisputed champion for, 7 years? I think he defended like 12 times. His record was 62-3 with 2 draws, 52 knockouts. He fought everybody in his era. The fact that and Teddy Atlas was bringing this up because I was listening to him, as I always do, because he's my man. Teddy Atlas said that, for him to fight John the Beast Mugabe, when Mugabe was undefeated, he had knocked everybody out, for him to go seek him out and give him a shot, that's just not something you see anymore. You know, you don't see that anymore. Yeah. Now, there is some controversy here. Now, his wife said that he died of natural causes. I don't know that that's really official yet. I don't know if they're going to do an autopsy. I don't know. And if they do, chances are it's going to be all private. Nobody will know. Thomas Hearns. Now, I read this. I didn't see the actual social media post, but it was posted on like a legitimate site, like one of the boxing sites that we frequent, you know, and they usually have pretty legit news. It said that Thomas Hearns had posted something to the effect that he was having problems prior to her posting this a few hours later, that for prayers for Marvin Hagler, because he was having some complications with his second COVID shot or with his COVID shot. So I don't know if he was having issues with it and that's what caused it or what happened. Listen, at the end of the day, I don't think it really matters what caused it. You know what I mean? The way it is, I mean, the bottom line is just that, you know, he's no longer with us, unfortunately. So, you know, but it was a tough one, man. This was not good, man. Not good. So, what's your favorite Marvin Hagler fight? It's got to be Hearns, right?
I'm going to say something very controversial.
What's that?
The Sugar Ray Leonard fight was my favorite fight.
He beat Sugar Ray. He beat everybody. He beat Sugar Ray. He beat Duran. He beat Hearns.
He didn't beat Sugar Ray. Sugar
he
Ray
completely beat Sugar Ray, son. Son, he completely beat Sugar
fight.
Ray.
You know what the best part about it was?
You know what the best part about it was? He would never give Sugar Ray a rematch. Sugar Ray wanted a rematch really bad.
But you know what? Probably the most entertaining fight was everyone thinks Hagler Hearns. That's great. But the Mugabe fight was probably the most entertaining fight because it was like both guys, like Mugabe hurt him and the fight went like 11 rounds. So it was like, it was a really good fight because it had the 11 rounds and it was a 15 round fight. It went 11 and both guys hurt each other. The Hearns fight was great, but it was too fast.
It was good. Yeah, that was a good one.
It was great. But the most entertaining fight, in my opinion, of his whole career, I would have to say the Mugabe fight was.
Yeah, obviously the Hearns fight, for me, the Hearns fight, no question. But the one that always stuck out of my mind when I think of Marvin Hagler, this is the first fight I think of, was with the Alan Minter fight. And at the end, when he beat Minter and all the bottles came in, I mean, he went to England and beat him, you know. All the bottles came in, hitting people, and, I mean, it was just insane. I have that image in my head of that happening. It was like, oh, my God.
Let's take a poll in the chat. Who won, Sugar Ray Leonard or Marvin Hagler? I scored the fight 115 to 113.
There it is. Final score right there. Outlaw. Hagler beat Sugar Ray.
I scored it for Leonard 115 to 113.
Yeah. Hagler beat Sugar Ray. There you go.
Well, nobody thought Sugar Ray won? Come on.
No, nobody thought Sugar Ray won. You know why? Because he didn't win. You can't fight 10 seconds of a round and win the fight. It just doesn't work, son.
Come on, he's Sugar Ray Leonard. He can do whatever he wants.
They had a bunch of, what do they have? Adelaide Byrd judging that fight. They had CJ Ross judging that fight.
Well, everybody thought Hagler won.
Everybody thought Hagler won.
I'm getting no support here.
Because they got eyes. Because they got eyes, son.
Come on.
530-530. Robert, you're live.
Robert, who won, Hagler or Sugar Ray Leonard? Be honest.
Hagler won.
Without a doubt, Marvin Hagler won that fight. No question. Absolutely no question.
Easy work, son. Come on.
Let's face it. Sugar Ray Leonard was a favorite son of Las Vegas. He got handed that decision. That's the first fight I ever paid for. Hagler got ripped off, and he got so disgusted he never boxed again. So, you know.
Went to Italy. Moved to Italy. Married some hot wife.
Left the country, man. He was so disgusted, you know. Yep.
Come on, Robbie.
But, Joe, I'm disappointed in you. You're from Massachusetts. You're supposed to support one of your own.
Yeah, right? He doesn't. It's not the same in Boston as it is in Titletown. We support our own here.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, all the Ohio fighters. I was so broken up about the fight with Terrell Gashay this weekend, I couldn't even talk about it, man. Two Ohio guys going at it. I don't even want to see that, man. Jermonte Clark, man. Come on.
Yeah, two Ohio guys fighting in Connecticut.
That's why the PBC blows, man, because they do that nonsense. They take all the Ohio fighters, never fight in Ohio. You know, I mean, the Battle of Ohio took place in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know,
has Melnyecki ever fought in Chicago yet?
No. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Because of the pandemic and everything, I'll give you a pass on that. You know what I mean? With the pandemic and everything, I get it. But, yeah, Melnyecki's tailor-made for Chicago.
What a hell of a fighter we lost, man. I was so sad when I heard that yesterday. It's like, wow, because I remember watching every single one of his fights, man, you know. And remember, in the 80s, it was Hagler, Leonard, Hearns, and Duran. They dominated the sport of boxing in the 80s before Mike Tyson came along, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the four guys you wanted to see, you know. And, I mean, that's why the first pay-per-view fight I ever bought was Hagler Leonard, and I was absolutely convinced Marvelous Marvin Hagler was going to win, and I got so disgusted when the judges gave it to Leonard. It was like it was terrible.
Come on, Robbie, stop sensationalizing the situation. It was a close fight. You act like it was a robbery. I don't know.
Complete robbery, son. Complete robbery.
I scored it for Hagler. Come on. You want to talk about robbery?
A lot of Sugar Ray Leonard haters in this on this show today, man.
Hey, look,
Did you see what's his name, Michael Buffer, in the main event of that fight on DAZN?
Yeah.
Before he brought out like Chocolatito and everybody, when he was announcing and did the 10 count, he looked really broken up. He looked real broken up on this whole thing because he announced a lot of Hagler's fights.
You gotta understand one thing. Not only that, but he met these guys. Like he used to talk to these guys. He was friendly with a lot of these fighters too.
I heard Sugar Ray was real broken up about it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy. I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Everybody in boxing was broken up about this, man. Showtime talked about it quite a bit last night during their card. So, you know, I mean, I'm sad that he's gone, man, because last week on our podcast, we had to build our own Mount Rushmore of the four best people in sports. And when we put the poll question out, a lot of people called in and said, you know, Hearns, Hagler, Leonard, and Durant. So, this really hits home, close to home to a lot of people.
Yeah, sure does.
Yep. And, you know, what can I say? And, by the way, I agree with you, Beebe. Benavidez did look good, but I also agree with Eric. If that David Benavidez showed up to fight Canelo, he would lose. He's got to improve.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a good idea.
I can't argue with that. I can't argue with that because Canelo is just that good. I'm on the Canelo bandwagon right now too, but I like Benavidez.
I think Caleb Plant is a pretender because he doesn't want he doesn't want to fight Benavidez, I hope Benavidez can get him in the ring because if Canelo is going to unify the title, I would much rather see him do it against David Benavidez than Caleb Plant. So I hope that Benavidez can get Plant in the ring first. And Charlo moving up to 168.
There's no way that's happening, son. There ain't no way Plant's fighting Benavidez. I can tell you that right now. If you were Caleb Plant or his management team, wouldn't you want to fight Canelo first over Benavidez? Look at the money, man.
Of course you would, just for the money, Eric.
It is.
But you know what? You're going to have lots of money, but you're not going to have a belt after you walk out of that ring.
Yeah, I can buy a couple belts. Look at me back here. I got two belts back behind me. I bought them, son.
Yeah.
Please, I didn't even earn them.
Please, Robbie.
Anyway, and I'm glad that Berbiev is going to fight again. That'll be an interesting fight. I guess they're going to show that with the ESPN guys in the studio calling that fight from Russia since nobody can really travel overseas now. So I wonder how much of Tim Bradley we're going to have to hear. I wish ESPN would get rid of him and just have Andre Ward talk because he knows what he's talking about. Bradley? Oh, please.
Wow. So you just want to put him out in the streets?
Yeah.
He can do for work, man.
Right. He's going to work with that chick's manager, man. That's what he's going to do.
And by the way, speaking of ex-fighters,
sure.
speaking of ex-fighters that do a good job, I think Abner Morris does a wonderful job now on Showtime.
He's not bad. Yeah, he's not bad.
No, I
don't have a problem with him, but I miss Pauly Malignaggi. I like Pauly Malignaggi.
See, I'm not crazy. I was never crazy about Pauly Malignaggi.
No, I
like Pauly Malignaggi. Yeah.
I would like Rafael Marquez to be on those Showtime broadcasts because he does a wonderful job on Showbox.
Yeah, stick him on the Spanish. Stick him on the Spanish channels.
No, I like Raul Marquez. I like him.
Yeah.
What happened to? I lost my train of thought. Never mind.
Okay.
So, Robbie, here's the bigger question for you. Who'd you think won the fight last night, Chocolatito or Estrada?
I didn't watch it because I don't pay for DAZN. But if I had to pick somebody to win before the fight happened, I would have picked Estrada. So, you know.
I apologize. I legitimately forgot that he doesn't watch those fights. I swear to God, I forgot, Eric. I wasn't even trying to be a jerk there. I really wasn't. I forgot. I wasn't trying to throw a shot.
No, but
I wasn't. I swear to God.
Seriously, I've seen enough of Chocolatito's fights. If he's talking about retirement, I think that would be a good idea for him.
Needs to find something else to do?
No, I'm not going to say that, but, you know, because it
but
sounds
he won
like
a fight last night, man.
It sounds like it was a competitive fight. And somebody actually suspended a judge. Now, why didn't they do that with Adelaide Bird and Julie Letterman, guys?
Well, what's that old saying? It's not who you know, it's there you go.
Yeah. Because remember, they both turned in despicable scorecards, and as far as I know, they're both still judging fights. So you know.
That's true.
Anyway, I'm sure you guys have other callers, so I'll get out of here. But R.I.P. to Marvin Hagler.
Right,
what a terrible loss.
That's true.
All right,
see
Robert.
See you later, guys.
We'll talk to you soon, man. See you later.
See you later, Robbie.
It is. Inside Robert gets his take in. Yeah, I knew who I like, because, you know, we all three watch and say, why did you bring up the thing about the zone, man? Why would you bring that up?
I forgot, man. Sure.
No, you didn't. Well, you think he magically got the zone?
He got some stimulus checks. He got some stimulus checks. He could have fronted for some.
You get your stimulus check yet?
No.
Do you know anybody that got their stimulus check yet? Nobody.
Jesse, Sean Salvi, my brother's friend, got it. Jesse Reacon's sister got it.
Jesse Reacon's sister.
Jesse Reacon didn't get it because he gets the checks mailed. He doesn't have the direct deposit.
They got garnished.
Stop taking shots at Jesse Reacon, one of the best battle rappers. He's one of the best battle rappers of all time.
Who's on that list? Really, like, who's on that list?
Jesse Reacon's got underground battle rap skills that go unnoticed, very underestimated.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Whatever happened to Paulie Malinow? Why did he get removed again? Because he got removed, right? What happened with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he said something about, I don't know, they felt it was kind of racist, I guess.
It was about the Ferguson thing or something. I don't know. It was something about it. I remember it now.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, some kind of, it wasn't a slur exactly, but it was, I know what you're talking about.
They didn't like a lot of his controversial takes on political matters and stuff, so.
Tony Hale says we're going to be paying China $1,400. I don't care, son. I'm not paying it back. It's my money anyway. It's my money.
We already owe China $1 trillion. So what difference is another fucking.
Just count out my money, all right? Put it in the bank already. Quit playing around.
What bad is another $1 trillion going to do? I mean, one way or another, we're going to end up paying them anyways. So at least we get a piece of it now.
You got to learn Chinese now. You know what I'm saying? And we're doing it now. All right, B, we're going to talk about your favorite topic right now, Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury allegedly stopped training. No more allegedly. He has stopped training. Yeah. A lot of talk lately, man, that he stopped training. He's drinking. And then Tyson Fury was on the MTK Global card. He wasn't on. He was, you know, supporting one of his friends and got interviewed over there. Finally addressed these rumors. And I'll be honest with you, Beeb. I don't know about you, but he made a lot of sense. He really did. He made a lot of sense, man. He says, quote, I'm having some time away from the game at the moment because I've been ready to fight since I beat Deontay Wilder last year. So I've had no success in getting another fight. It's down to COVID and a lot of other stuff going on. But at the moment, I'm concentrating on getting from 10 pints of Stella to 12 every day. 10 pints to 12 pints a day, Beeb. He said, I could drink 14 pints of beer and still give AJ a hiding. He said, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not even training anymore now. Sugar Hill has gone home. He went home in November. Andy Lee has gone home. I'm burnt out. He said, I've done too much. I need to rest mentally and physically and emotionally. I only need 6 or 7 weeks to train for these bums. I don't need no great sparring partners for a methodical building bodybuilding type of guy. I just need local bin men and firemen and local strongmen. I'm ready to go tonight. I'm in shape fit. There it is. So let's talk about this for a second here. I think that, like, he makes a lot of sense. He said he's not going to start training. Basically, he said he's not going to start training until the fight's actually made. All right. And I think he's right. They're sitting around. They're jerking around with this fight. Is he going to fight Wilder next? Is he going to fight Fury next? The fight's not even the fight's not signed. Apparently, if it was so close, why isn't it signed yet? Everybody's agreed to it, blah, blah, blah. Listen, bottom line is the fight's not signed. So there's some sticking points here. He could be training for months and months and months for this, you know. Listen, the guy, you know, he said he's ready to fight. He was ready to fight since after the Wilder thing. Why is this such a bad thing? Does it make sense to you? It makes sense to me.
It makes perfect sense to me because why get your hopes up high? You get yourself in a particular mindset because when it's fight time, it's fight time. You have to not only gear up physically but gear up mentally. And then when you prepare yourself, go through that camp, and like I said, it's not only physical, it's mental. And then when you have that letdown, it really causes a I don't care who you are, it's going to cause some depression. You're not going to be happy about it. You're gonna go through a downswing in your mood. You know, you get yourself all worked up, and then you find out it was all for nothing. So why get yourself all geared up, get yourself in fight mode, only to have the fight not happen? So I totally understand where he's coming from, and I think that's what you're trying to say. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but why do that? Why go through all that, and then when the fight does happen, then you got to go through that all again. And you end up wasting too much energy because you're stopped.
Hey, can you hear me? Oh, my video just froze.
You know, he's all over the place. A lot of times he says one thing and he contradicts himself saying another. First he said he was never going to fight Wilder ever again. Now he's saying that it could be a possibility. You know, then he was saying that he wants to fight Joshua. Now he's not so sure if he's going to fight Joshua next. So he's all over the place. A lot of times we don't know whether he's serious, whether he's playing mind games. But one thing I can say, and I said this when I was on D-Style's show on Thursday, when it is fight time, he always rises to the occasion. He always wins when people count him out. You know, he was an underdog in the Klitschko fight. He was an underdog in both Wilder fights. A lot of people didn't think he was going to win any of those three fights, and he won. I think he won all three of them. And even though there was a draw in the first fight, I still think he won that fight. So I think the proof is in the pudding. Regardless of what Tyson Fury says, does, the state of mind that he's in, when he does enter that ring, he's able to zone all that out and really put on a great performance more often than not. Even when he had that problem with Otto Wallen, when he had that vicious cut, he was still able to really focus in and calm himself down. There's a lot of other fighters would have panicked in that situation. He didn't panic. He continued to fight on. That was a really bad gash, and he did what he had to do. So he does the job once that bell rings and once he enters that ring. So that's what I'm going to have to judge him on based on his history in terms of performing under the big lights and doing what he's supposed to do and doing his job. So all the other stuff, I'm not going to really worry about it until it does become a problem, because so far it really hasn't become a problem when it comes time for that bell to ring.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, he does what he wants to do, and it works for him.
Yeah.
That's just the long and short of it is it works for him.
I mean, are these optimum conditions? No. But again, Tyson Fury is a crazy maker. He likes the chaos around him. Yeah. If there's not chaos around him, guess what? He's going to create it somehow, some way. He's going to find a way to create drama, chaos. Even in the second Wilder fight, he was leaking rumors that he was injured, knowing that he wasn't injured. He was telling people that he rolled his ankles over and stuff because he just likes drama.
Yeah.
That's what he likes. So who knows what's going to happen?
You never know, man. You never know. But I mean, he thrives on this kind of stuff here, you know, and it does make perfect sense that he was injured or not injured, but that, you know, he wanted to fight and there was no fight to be had.
Yeah.
Why am I going to spend that time in training camp? It's got to be exhausting. It's mentally exhausting for him. I get it. I get it. I have no problem with this. None. So, all right. Our train wreck of the week, Beeb. Been a bit, but we have a train wreck of the week. Joseph Parker linked to a meth ring. Former WBO champion Joseph Parker is alleged to have played a role in a major drug importation conspiracy in New Zealand. The heavyweight boxer has been named in connection to the drug supply case by the New Zealand Herald after a two-year legal battle to keep his name and protect his image. The police have not charged Parker in relation to the case, and the boxing star denies any involvement in the conspiracy. And, of course, Joseph Parker denies all allegations. Beeb, just when you think you know somebody. You know, listen, I don't know how much money Joseph Parker pulls down. I got to imagine in the meth trade it's probably going to be a little bit more. But what do I know?
Well, I'm going to give him due process.
I agree. And listen, the biggest thing about this is that he has not been charged with anything. He denies everything.
Yeah.
So,
until they have a full investigation and they determine that he's guilty of anything, any wrongdoing, then I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
That's all we can do, right?
That's all we can do. I'm not part of this cancel culture.
How dare you?
I'm not part of the woke crowd.
Woke. You probably still read Dr. Seuss, don't you?
Never. Oh, yeah, of course I do. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm not shutting down any Disney characters, any Dr. Seuss characters because of...
Yeah, well, you're wrong. Pepe Le Pew. You got Pepe Le Pew. You got Mrs. Butterworth. Get her out of there, too. Uncle Ben, Mr. Potato Head, all of them.
Yeah.
They all need to go.
Okay.
That's how we do in cancel culture. That's it.
Big cancel culture.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see everybody next week.
I was hoping your car was going to call in.
That's funny, man. Yeah, I was wondering what was going on. I don't know what happened. Like, in the middle of the thing... Here, wait one second here.